This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Houston Texans are on the clock.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Please, you can stop sending me Luke Bryan ass-shaking.
Do not stop, folks. Keep sending them buns over to Ross.
Twitter, please stop. Splitty has started this. Please stop sending me
Attaboy,
Luke Bryan asshole. Can't say that.
Good Lord. How does a slip of the tongue like that even happen? Now you're thinking about that part of him?
No, I was saying,
damn. Down them jeans, you're tight.
I was mixing
in. We dumped it, folks. He said the other word for anus.
I was mixing in those people are being that as they're sending them to me.
I don't know. Like you wanted to look at some picture of Luke Bryan's a-hole.
I don't.
What the hell are they sending? You got pictures of Luke Bryan's old chicken eye over there?
Good. People that are sending them are a-holes.
Chocolate I don't want to look starfish at up in here.
Man, I said that real loose, didn't I?
Yeah, just eased on
casual
out.
With it.
This is water, folks.
Guess I better hit that old dump button.
Never heard talk about a man's certain hole so casually.
That's funny.
That Sean G sure wasn't dumped on the YouTube and Twitch. Well, that's another another advantage you have over there on YouTube and Twitch. That's not... Well, just stop sending them. All right. See what happens when you send them. Now I'm out here.
Keep sending them.
Someone texted in Cowboy Butch Drive Show nuts. No, it doesn't. I just
Luke Bryan's.
Seems like it.
And it was.
You went beyond the butt.
I did. What is this? Right here?
I don't know what's going on.
It's a Tim Couch. Right
Tim
now.
Couch is dead. Yeah.
It's a hell of a time for Deshaun Watson to be on the screen.
It was. It was.
Man,
it was all of it, guys.
We know what he likes now.
Yep. You got it. We got it. All of it. All of it. They're all there.
Oh, it doesn't stop.
It does. Ocho, you're welcome. Thank goodness for YouTube and Twitch.
That'll raise the eyebrows.
That would. Hopefully, and Parker and them are in the clubhouse getting interviews after the game.
You happen to look up at the screen and Tim Couch is face down in the dirt and Deshaun Watson standing
over
upright.
Him.
And Ron's over here talking about chicken eyes.
Good Lord.
Let's segue Ron. Out of that.
To a hell of a 3 o'clock hour, boys.
It should be off to a hell of a start. Mel Kiper has his mock draft out. And before I tell you the player he has, and I hate it. I want to get it right off the jump. I hate it. I think he's what I said earlier on accident for making the selection.
Hold on. Todd.
Man, I hope Todd's doing better, man.
They just took
Todd McShay's ass right off TV, man. I think he's doing a podcast somewhere
in the digital world. Todd.
Last time I saw him, he looked like he was doing better. But, man, I legitimately hope that is the case. But before I let you know who Mel Kiper had, this is what D'Amico had to say yesterday with the way he looks at and views first-round guys for his football team.
Players come in all different types and sizes, man. But I think when you look at a guy, you're taking a guy in that first round, you're looking at guys who you're leaning on being, you know, day one starters for you. And, you know, second round on three, you're looking for guys who can possibly upgrade the roster to eventually become starters. But, you know, you want to see a guy and what he's done in college, how many snaps he's played, how effective has he been with the reps that he's been given.
All right, 2 years ago, C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, Bam starters. Even last year, they traded out, but they got Kamari Lassiter, who, yes, I was skeptical of with his speed, but he was a starter and became a starter day one. And this is who Mel Kiper has. Kelvin Banks Jr., offensive tackle, Texas, and was one of the best offensive linemen in the SEC last year. He got injured, missed some time. You could see how that affected Texas at times. But Kelvin Banks is an offensive tackle for Texas. And I hate the pick. And it is not to me, Clint, just because you drafted a tackle in the second round last year. And you would draft a tackle in the first round this year. And not to mention, you still got Titus and Laramie Tunzel on the roster. Not just because of that. But for me, Clint, I don't want... If I look at the Texans, I don't want the Texans in the first round to draft an offensive lineman. Because, one, it would signal to me that they didn't do enough during free agency to get somebody there, so they feel like they got to go bring an offensive lineman in, because you just heard D'Amico, they view those guys as day one starters. And to me, Clint, they have to get for shows. They have to get guys that we know who they are. We know what they're going to be. And to me, we've seen this. Tackles, not just tackles, offensive linemen, defensive linemen are the toughest ones to adjust from a rookie to the NFL level, because they're going up against grown men. And for me, if they are drafting in the first round an offensive lineman, that means that person's got to be a day one starter, and that is probably what they view as maybe the fix to the new starter, and to me, that would concern me, because they didn't feel that in free agency.
There's only one part of this. Well, there's two parts of this that concern me. One, this is the one position where Nick and D'Amico have not been good in terms of drafting players. The jury's still out on Blake Fisher. He was forced into action last year because a guy that you drafted in the first round a couple of years back, Nick Caserio, was an all-out bust. Another reason that he had to play inside being Titus Howard is because Juice Scruggs just couldn't figure out the communication and couldn't stay healthy. And so I just don't trust these guys to fix the gaping hole that is the offensive line for the Texans right now with a draft pick, right? Now,
that was going to be my other part too, Clint. Well, I don't know how anyone can be like.
Well, I don't like the thought of fixing it with draft picks anyway, when it's as bad as it is right now. So then you tack on to the fact they just haven't been good at prospecting and identifying those guys and developing once they get here. They just haven't been good, right? So I don't trust that part of it. The only part, Ron, for me that I could say, you know, this I could get down with.
You're talking about it's a first round selection, somebody that's a lineman.
The only way you make that decision is if Titus Howard or Laramie Tunsil's moved. And so then now you're talking about a good chunk of the cap space that allow you to then go in and fix the interior offensive line. And now you've got whoever's left, Tunsil or Titus, plays your left tackle. Blake Fisher and in this case, Kelvin Banks could play your right tackle. And you got your tackle situation hopefully figured out. I would be A-OK with it if that ended up being the plan.
If you're saying, hold on, Titus would kick in, or you got rid of one of them?
You got rid of either Titus or Laramie.
And then
frees up a bunch of cap space. Whichever one's left plays left tackle, and then your right tackle is a competition between last year's second round pick Blake Fisher and this year's first round pick Kelvin Banks Jr. That's where I would,
adding a guard.
You're using the money that you cleared some space plus what you already have. You're using that money to fix your problems inside. I've said this a million times. Like if I'm Nick Caley. If you came to me and said, hey, man, I'm going to fix the interior offensive line, but in the process, you're not going to have a lockdown tackle on both sides. You're not going to have a guy that you can leave on an island for 17 games on both sides. You're going to have to – there's going to be games that you're going to have to scheme around, and you're going to have some tight end help and some running back help. I'd say no problem. You shore up my interior offensive line, give C.J. Stroud somewhere to push up in the pocket to escape the trouble. Give me a tackle that I can help off the edges with tight ends or running backs or even wide receivers. And I can build an offense around that. I can't build an offense. I don't care how good Laremy Tunsil is. I can't build an offense around the interior offensive line that just caves every time they run a D tackle end twist. I just can't do it.
Yeah, so, to me, if you're say in that scenario, and I guess that's the only way that I would just crush it is if in free agency you went and got a Trey Smith or somebody like that, and then you did that. But to me, then it's like, well, hell, have you seen enough? Because if you, I guess maybe you're talking about maybe the future, the thought would be, hey, it's Banks and Blake Fisher eventually are going to be your tackles down the line.
Yeah, I mean, you got to move on from those. I mean,
in the next two or three years. For me, it's like if I drafted Blake Fisher in the second round last year and he started playoff games for me, like, yeah. I got another pressing need at receiver.
Sure.
That to me, where I'm like, I gotta go there. Hell, or safety, or something there. Because someone texted in on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, saying, "How can you hate offensive line as a pick and it's our most pressing need?" It is the most pressing need, yeah. And that is why, to me, I won just like Clint said. I have this written down right here. I don't trust the Texans to be able to fix this offensive line through the draft next year. I don't. There are going to be a bunch of guys from Tyler Booker, who's a guard in Alabama, the guard and tackle at Missouri, and the North Dakota State kid who's shooting up. There are going to be guys around it. I don't trust for a team that is trying to get to the next level, which is to the AFC Championship game and beyond, to fix that for a draft pick next year. To me, it's you got to know. You got to get for showing
it. It's trust and money, Ron, right? I mean, you look at these two tackles. They got $35 million plus per year wrapped up in two tackles and a second-round pick in Blake Fisher. And now you're still trying to add to it. It still ain't enough.
Yeah.
Like, to me, the only way it makes sense is if you move Titus or you move Laremy Tunsil and you bring in Kelvin Banks Jr. And then you got a healthy competition with a first and a second round tackle, and whoever's left from Laremy and Titus that you bumped him over, they protect your backside. If any of them have problems, you can help them shore up your interior offensive line with the money that you free up and the cap space that you already have, and let's ride. I think you can. That's business right there.
Two things from the text line. I'd like to see the Texans draft a wide receiver or a defensive tackle in the first round. That to me, I would like better.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that would annoy me more than an offensive lineman is a quarterback or kickers.
Yeah,
like that's
all. I'll be honest with you, Ron. I'm at a point where I'll take in the first round. I'll take anything but an interior offensive lineman. Guard, center, guard. You got to go. That's where I got to have for sure. I got to have. Now I would like to see him draft wide receiver or defensive tackle. Otherwise, but for me, I just do not trust them to draft another guard, plug that guy in, and that guy not be a major problem by week four.
Yeah, the concerning thing is, Clint, is we would get to the draft and they hadn't addressed interior thing, and then they'd be forced to do that. That would be
a
concerning thing. I think we know the answer to this. Someone said, Clint, if it's your choice, which one would you get rid of? As you said, the
Laremy.
Yeah.
I'd clear as much cap space as I can, and I'd hit a reset. You hear D'Amico and Nick talk a lot about hitting the reset button on the offense and resetting the offensive line. When you talk about Cole Popovich, you would legitimately hit the reset button if you remove Laremy Tunsil from the group.
Yeah.
I think the other guys, to me, and look, I don't know them personally, but I've been around them just watching training camp and kind of how they flow and how they move. It seems to me that everybody else in that room is impressionable the right word? I think they will follow. I'm not calling them followers. I'm just saying, like, I think they will conform. They'll follow. They'll buy in, if you will. I think they're guys that whatever the leadership is in that room, they're going to lean into. And right now, that's Titus Howard. I mean, that's Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah. If that Kelvin Banks, boy, if they would go tackle first round this year, second round last year, boy, with Titus and Laremy with that.
I thought
money
they were crazy going tackle last year with Titus and Laremy. So and they did it anyway. So I don't have any clue where these guys are going to go with that draft pick.
Yeah. Me either. I just, we'll see. Receivers. I see people texting in receivers. That one would make a lot of sense. All right. We heard from Nick Caserio today talking about a lot of things, and it seems like the thing that has been a big talking point in Indy at the Combine is this tush push. And we heard D'Amico address it yesterday, and then Nick Caserio, he addressed it today talking about it. Here is what Nick said in terms of the potential of that being taken out of the league, the tush push.
Yeah, I think everybody probably has an opinion on it. I think what I would say, and D'Amico and I have talked about this, you don't necessarily want to penalize a team that's done something very well. You know, like credit to Coach Stoutland and Coach Sirianni for that's a play that's been effective for them. They got a good quarterback who's got good lower body strength. I mean, not every quarterback can squat 600, 700 pounds. So the techniques that they utilize. So, again, just because you can't stop the play, I mean, is that something that you have to take out of the game? You know, I think you got to be careful about just totally ridding the game of it. I would say, I'm sure the league will talk about player health and safety. Is it put the players at risk? It's a well-executed play by the Eagles, all right? And they've had success doing it. No one's been able to stop it. So, honestly, at some point, the onus is on, like, figure out a way. And if you can't, and the way they implement it, they're one of the few teams, or about the only team, that handles it the way that they do. So the sneak play in and of itself, there's a lot of dynamics that are involved. Some quarterbacks want to be in a fray. Some quarterbacks don't. You look at Buffalo, Josh is, 6'5", 250 pounds. So, I mean, he reaches his hand out there. He's got a first down, So every team's got to handle it a little bit differently. So I would just say, like, to penalize a team because they do something well, it's probably something we just, need to think about as a league.
The way he started that off.
As soon as I heard that, I said, what?
I was not being eight. Can I just ask one more time? I'm never going to get that yogurt with Nick. Listen, I've kind of rethought my stance of the tush push. I hear what Nick is saying. It feels like maybe one or two teams. I think Buffalo, as you put out the numbers about Buffalo, they've been pretty good at the tush push as well.
Yeah, not quite as good as Jalen and the Eagles, but Josh and the Bills have been pretty damn good.
When they executed, they've been pretty good too. I said Baltimore has started to do it with Mark Andrews, their tight end. I think it is a fair thing that not enough teams have done it. Can I just throw this out? Can we then defensively change the forward progress thing then? Like, either way, because that's kind of my biggest thing. On this tush push, we just drive through forward progress because they're able to be shoved right through even if they are held up. That doesn't happen on the other side of the ball. I'm cool. Keep the tush push. Can you change the forward progress rules on defense? The most annoying thing to me, play-wise, in football, Clint, when I watch...
Forward progress is the stopping of motion. You talking about the pushing, the actual pushing of the player?
When the motion stops. There are times this happens to both of them. The motion stops, and then they're
the whole
pushed on
moves.
Thing.
Yeah.
But, all right, you want to keep the play to me. The thing that drives me nuts every week is, multiple times a game, we see offensive players whose forward progress is stopped and offensive linemen run up and shove them 10 more yards up the field.
Right.
Or they'll just keep letting them shove them until they finally have gotten yards. Can we at least take that part out of the game? Can that part come out of the game? Or when an offensive player is stopped, we see this, they're stopped and they are drilled and hit seven yards back. That ball doesn't get placed where they get hit back to. They bring it all the way back up to wherever.
Yeah, the furthest point of progress.
Forward progress stuff. I just think if we're going to keep the tush push, then we gotta make the forward progress rules fair to defense too. Can we do that? There is nothing that irritates me more than you running up, Clint, and then three of your offensive linemen come up and shove you up 10 more yards.
Here's the deal. Let's think through this. If I'm a ball carrier and I hit a defender and I'm bigger and stronger and I'm moving him back, more defenders are going to keep hitting me. to stop my forward momentum.
Yeah.
So if it's vice versa, why wouldn't the offense be able to do it?
But what I'm saying is, let's say those defenders hit you and they drive you back.
Right.
They don't put the ball back where they drove you back to. They put the ball.
Oh, so you're suggesting that that forward. So we eliminate forward progress, and no matter how far down the field you got, you go all the way back to where they were
taking
down. Until
they blow it dead. That's what they do on offense. On offense, they just keep letting the pal go forward until they finally decide to blow it dead.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying, like, let's blow the forward progress down. They like it goes opposite for defense and offense. It's such a crazy route. I'm not doing it. All right, I'm not dealing with this. The tush push thing I can deal with. I don't love it, but at least make that part of it fair. There is nothing more that drives me crazy than, hey man, we're just gonna let these cats keep going until they cross the goal line, and then then we'll blow a whistle. Then we'll blow a whistle dead. All right, coming up, a little stock up, stock down. We'll do it combine edition. A little combine edition of stock up, stock down. That's coming up next on The Drive.
Every season brings highs.
I'm in my drop top, cruising the streets.
And lows.
No way, because I know one of you two assholes would have done the same thing that I just did.
Are you kidding me?
This trio always has eyes on the market in H-Town. It's time to buy or sell. It's stock up.
The arrow's pointed up.
Stock down.
They're selling, Mortimer.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. We do it every hump day, every Wednesday around this time here on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It is stock up, stock down. And every week it's a bit of a different flavor. Different flavor for you. And today's edition of stock up, stock down is for this NFL Combine. If you did not know, the 2025 NFL Combine is officially underway this week up north, up there in Indy. So without further ado, let's dive into it. Ron, I want to start with you, show. And, you know, it's been a while since we got the negative out of the way. Let's go stock down first for this NFL Combine in your view, Ron.
My stock down the NFL just having this thing in Indianapolis. This is borderline. You know how I feel about Omaha. This is damn near close to that. They're just, this thing could be rotated. This thing could probably be at a better venue, a better place. I mean, Lucas Oil is nice, but a better spot. Like, I mean, I understand for a long time it was in the middle of the country. Well, I mean, things are a bit different at this point. Like, I mean, hell, I think Houston would be a great spot. I think there are a lot of other spaces, but Indy. Like, good God, man, what are we doing? I mean, it's just keeping it here at Indy. Boy, I think it could be made a real NFL event for fans, which I think they should. Like, they've turned the NFL draft into a real event for fans. We went there in Kansas City and saw how that thing was. I went to the one in Nashville as well. I think they could do that. Could you imagine? Hey, we're going to be in New Orleans for the combine. NFL, come on down, take over New Orleans. NFL, come on down, take over wherever, all these. And it's in Indy. So stock down for continuing to have this thing in Indy and not really open this thing up to, I mean, the NFL is about making money, make a little bit of money.
Yeah.
A better place.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, we all know there ain't ish to do up in Indy.
I mean, you can only go to St. Elmo's Steakhouse or whatever that steakhouse is. With the shrimp, so many times.
Some would say that's a good thing about having it there. You keep the coaches out of the.
Yeah, sure.
Be an adult. Fine. No, I'm with you, Ron. Indy sucks.
Let's just be honest. I think that's always BS. You know how fellas are. If a thing was held in Beaumont, Texas, we'd find it. If it was in Port Arthur, some of the best times I've had, some of the best moments I've had was in Ames, Iowa, and that's not a place to go home about. So.
There you have it. Shout out PA. All right, that's Ron, the show's stock down for this year's NFL Combine. This is Stock Up, Stock Down on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Flipping over to the other side of that broadcast table in there, former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner for you. Heading in as this Combine is rolling on for the NFL. What is stock down for you in this year's Combine, Clint?
Steve Smith Sr. Steve Smith Sr., he's been a staple at the combine, man. Some of the best one-liners, some of the great, he called Cooper Kupp as his great. When it comes wide receiver time, Steve Smith Sr. has been one of the guys that
you're sorry.
Yeah, that is a big part of the entertainment here at the NFL Combine. I don't know if he's there or not, but I know one of two things is going to happen. He's either not going to be there altogether, or number two, he's going to be there and he's going to be a shell of himself. Stock down, Steve Smith Sr. Boy,
untied
and undefeated. Got him.
If you work with Steve. And the next time he comes to work, that you work with Steve, like, are you more leaning towards the you nasty sly son of a gun? Or are you more like, hey man, I know it's gonna be a rough time, man. You
praying for
you're
you
going through it.
I'm one thing.
I can't.
The normal shake. Hey bro, you good? All right, man, good.
That's it. That's all it. You got.
I ain't got no business being in that business.
I can't. I don't know how I could walk up to Steve. Like, if I know I could walk up to Steve and not have a bit of a smirk.
Hey, let me tell you what, Steve.
Just a bit of a damn. Just how nasty that.
You know it's the feeling in Steve's mind when somebody comes his direction that he ain't seen since the report. I mean, he is shaking in his boots, nervous as hell. What's going to be said? I'm just going to give you, Steve. I'm going to give you a smooth. You good, bro? All right, man. Keep it moving.
He'll probably give you an apology.
I mean, there
you have it. That is the stock down for the fellas. The combine being held in Indy, and then Clint there with Steve Smith Sr. This is Stock Up, Stock Down on the Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Do it every Wednesday around this time. Houston's number one afternoon drive program. Got the negative out of the way. Let's get Stock Ups. Ron, over to you again. Stock Up for the NFL Combine.
I'll go quick. Mine is Jackson Dart. The top quarterbacks are not competing, and I think that is always a case for whoever's next to be there, and him and Quinn, those guys have a real big chance as a third, fourth, fifth quarterbacks to really show out at the combine, and that's an opportunity. If they come out and are the story coming out of the combine, I think those guys really have a chance to have their stock rise.
All right, the young quarterbacks. That's it for Ron. Now back to you, Clint. Your stock up for this year's NFL Combine as it's rolling on up in Indy.
The Titans. The Titans, they hold all the cards when it comes to the quarterback carousel, whether you're talking about the top two quarterbacks, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, or you're talking about Matthew Stafford asking for or looking like he's going to be on the move out of L.A., the Titans have they hold every one of the cards. They're going to set the market in term, not set the market, but they're going to determine who has a shot at a rookie quarterback, who has a shot at Matthew Stafford, which ultimately I think is going to set the course of a franchise or two moving forward. The Titans have hold all the QB cards in this draft.
Put those uniforms back in the trunk.
Yeah, they hold all the cards.
Them fake ass Oilers in Nashville.
They do. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they got an interesting decision to do. Those guys at the top ain't gonna participate.
They got some power. I mean, they got the power. What do you do with it? You know, they got some luxuries right now. What do you do with it?
Carter pulled out. Well, he's not going to participate. Mm. The quarterbacks aren't going to participate. I'm just watching myself right now. All right, coming up, let's head to West Palm Beach as the Astros. They got another win today, 3-0. Framber was on the mound. We'll get the thoughts of the fellas and see what they felt about the second game and an update on Jose Altuve. All of that coming up next right here on The Drive.
It's Taquerias around us.
Well, Sean, you done stepped off in it. Come on, Sean. Gosh damn it, man.
Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we are live here. And let's go out live to West Palm Beach as the fellas who you've been listening to, and they've been bringing you the great, great coverage there as spring training is revved up and going right now. Joining us, Sean Pendergast. And they are joining us courtesy of Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. How was it today, fellas? Another dub, or not fellas, just Sean. How was it today,
Sean?
And another dub, and Framber on the mound. That looked good there. Pitching looked good throughout the day as they win 3-0.
Yeah, it's just me today, fellas. It was not as much activity as yesterday. We got a couple shutout innings from Framber. We got shutout innings from everybody today.
That's right.
So it was nice. We got a 2-run homer from Yiner in the first inning. We got some shutout innings from Framber. We got shutout innings from everybody else who pitched. And in the end, it was a 3-0 win for the Stros today. So it was nice.
What the hell's going on with Seth? He's going to come whenever we get on the phone whenever he wants to get on the phone or what?
I'm on a walk right now, so I said, look, I can sit in the house and just sit at a table and do my hit with these guys, and then welcome everybody else in who wants to be in, or I could get a few steps in so that I can eat irresponsibly and drink irresponsibly for the next several hours. And then, you know what? I choose me.
Well,
that's
there
what
you
I
go.
Choose. No, I choose.
He's probably hunting iguanas.
I'm on a sidewalk right now going around like a little lake that we're near. I see a trailer park right across the lake. There's a bunch of snails. I'll send you guys a picture. There's a bunch of empty snail shells sitting on the bench next to me right now. So, we are in Wild Kingdom here, man. I'm telling you. Yeah. I know, like, it feels like, right. Right? Like, we had to get iguanas out our backyard. There's rats running around back there. I go to take a walk. I want to sit down and talk to my friends, Ron and Clint. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 7 empty snail shells on the bench next to me. I mean, I found these things 15 seconds ago.
Hey, so he's over into that trailer park and see if you can't get some good beer drinking going on over there or something, man.
I can't. It's not an ease over situation. It's a long walk. I can see it across the lake. But I can tell you right now, if all these guys go to bed as early as they go to bed, I'm going to walk over to that trailer park and just see what's going on a little bit. Hey, any of y'all watching the Rockets and the Spurs at 9:30 local time tonight?
I'll
hang out with y'all.
I'll be honest. I never had nobody say that to me. Hey, Ryan, won't you ease all over to that trailer park over there and see if you can get some good drinking?
There's some good
over
beer
there.
Drinking going on over there, man. See,
I
see what's
find
going
that
on.
Hard to believe. I think you've had them. Yeah.
Hey, Sean, you talked about it. Yiner Diaz had the big bomb today. And he is somebody that isn't talked about as much with everything that's happening, obviously, with Altuve in left field and the new guys and Christian Walker and Paredes and all of the departures. But, I mean, this is a guy who was up for the Silver Slugger Award at the catcher position. Yep. And it feels like that is somebody that you can look at taking another step and improving upon what he did last year.
Yeah, I totally agree, Sho. I wrote an article today. I think it'll drop tomorrow at the Houston Press. Like, certain things for the Astros that are either unexpected or performances from guys who may be a level above what we're talking about right now that might get them from the 85 or 86 wins that everybody's expecting to the 94, 95, or 100 wins that we're all used to. You know, like, that's the fact of the matter is, for the last 8-9 years, we're all used to winning anywhere between 95 and 100, 405 games. And I think Yiner Diaz is one of those things. I think Yordan Alvarez being able to play 150 games and put up MVP numbers is one of those things. Health has been an issue for him. I think Jeremy Pena maybe taking a next step is one of those things. And then there's a few things that trigger people, like, hey, what if Lance McCullers actually pitches 25 games this year? What if Chaz McCormick comes back and is what he was 2 years ago? I think Yiner Diaz is one of those things, man. Like, Yiner Diaz, what he was last year, was already one of the top 7, 8, 9 catchers in the league offensively. And I think he's in that conversation for where, man, if he can take that next step offensively, he can be one of those things that gets this team back to where we're used to be. I think everybody expects this team to win about 85 or 86 games. But I do think there are some things existing on this roster, including Yiner Diaz, they could get this team back to where we've all normally been for the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, Sean, I think we've talked about this a couple times. We got Yiner Diaz, Pena, the two that you in terms of the Astros that were here last year, those two, and then Spencer Arrigetti being the third, and from a starting perspective, if those guys just continue trending in the right direction and take another step forward, it doesn't have to be a huge stride, but just take another step in the positive direction. That's gonna be. Huge in terms of filling the Tucker Bregman void on this baseball team.
No doubt. I mean, you think about the first month and a half of last season, Like, there's no way this team goes 12-24 to start the season again. There's no way they experience the degree of bad luck that they had to begin last season, whether it's injury or just normal baseball bad luck. And some of it was self-inflicted. Their bullpen was a mess, all those things. I don't think they do that again this year. Now, from June on, they were one of the best teams in baseball, so you got to sustain that. But they did that without Kyle Tucker. This just in, they'll be without Kyle Tucker again this year. So I think Spencer Arrighetti, I thought Hayden Wisniewski yesterday did some good things. Like, if you just look at the box score, you're like, all right, it was all right. Two innings, one run, he gave up a home run, whatever. But if you were there at the game, you watched, and he's working on some things. Like, a lot of these, that's the beautiful thing about spring training, fellas, is that if guys pitch well, you're like, eh, yeah, Fromber was Fromber. And if they don't pitch well, you're like, eh, he was just working on some things. So it's a beautiful thing. But I think Wisniewski, too, like, I think it's going to be, barring injury, it's going to be a deeper rotation. And I'm still optimistic about Lance McCullers. We'll see what happens with that. But the five that they have in place, I think, are going to be pretty good.
I did want to ask you about something else, but real quick, why are you optimistic about Lance more than in the past?
I don't know. He's not coming off of Tommy John. He's coming off of a bone spur. Here's the thing, Joe. Like, when Lance pitches, it's undeniable.
Oh,
every
yeah.
time he pitches, he's good. I have no medical reason to believe it's going to be any better this time. It's just, it feels like the news is better this time around. It feels like internally the team is more optimistic this time around. So I'm kind of taking my cues from people who are watching Lance. But like every time, there's no point in Lance's career when he's taken the mound over an extended period of time. Obviously, like, you know, game four or five, whatever it was, of the World Series in 2022 was awful. He gave up five home runs in two innings or whatever it was. But there's no period of time where he's taken the mound over an extended period where it's been anything but pretty good to really good. So, yeah, I think it's my optimistic nature. You know I'm easily sold to, okay?
I know. So that's what I mean. You get there. Real quick on Altuve. What's the latest on Jose Altuve, and are you going to get a chance, you guys going to get a chance to see him in left field?
Yeah, we'll see him on Friday. So Friday is when Jose Altuve is going to get his first spring training look in a real game in left field. Joe Espada said today it's going to be four or five innings of Altuve. Everybody who's watched him play so far in the preseason or spring training, whatever we're calling it, has been really optimistic about it. We'll wait and see. I've not laid eyes on it yet, but he's going to play it in a game, which is very different, obviously, than playing it in a bunch of workouts. But we will be there on Friday for it. Obviously, Payne and Pendergast will not occur until Monday, so we will report in on the drive with Sterner and Hughley on Friday afternoon what we saw of Jose Altuve in left field.
Sean, is there anybody that you haven't seen yet in person that you're – I know there's some guys that are supposed to get some action tomorrow. I saw a list earlier. I don't have it right in front of me, but I know there's some action tomorrow that I think we had. I saw where Cam Smith's going to start tomorrow at third. I know you've already seen him, but anybody out there off the top of your head that you hadn't seen that you'd like to before you leave?
There's nobody I've seen we haven't seen Hunter Brown. We saw Framber today. We haven't seen Spencer Arrighetti. We haven't seen Spencer Arrighetti pitched on Sunday. We haven't seen any of those guys since we got here. I haven't looked at the schedule yet to see who's the starting pitchers over the next couple days. I got to imagine we're seeing Hunter Brown at some point. Those are probably the only ones, Clint, just starting pitchers. Cause from a, and obviously Yordan, we haven't seen Altuve. We haven't seen Pena, we haven't seen. So those are three huge ones right there. So those would be the three big ones, plus any starting pitchers we haven't seen yet. Josh Hader, we haven't seen. Anybody who's relevant to this team in 2025, we haven't seen yet. I would love to see before we leave here. But it's been fun, man. Like the Cam Smith show yesterday with the two home runs. And today, seeing the lineup today, there's four or five guys in the lineup today where you go, all right, well, these guys are all competing for jobs. It's just a different Astros vibe because 2 years ago when we were here, this was a team coming off of a World Series championship where the roster was pretty much etched in stone other than one or two guys. There's some spots on this team, both in terms of everyday players and pitchers, more bullpen than starting rotation, obviously,
that are very competitive right now. So it's been really cool.
Yeah. Oh, real quick, Sean, before we let you go, yeah. Dubon, who they sent back to Houston, but he was in the lineup yesterday. What are they saying about him? I'm guessing he's fine if he came right back with that shoulder in the lineup.
Yeah, I'm guessing he's okay. I mean, it's February. You know what I mean? Like, there's so I'm guessing he's all right. And I had to guess when the starting lineup gets unveiled for week one. I didn't see anything from Brendan Rodgers today at second base or anything from Guillorme was actually pretty fun to watch at shortstop yesterday. But if I had to guess, when opening day rolls around in late March, it's going to be Altuve in left field and Dubon at second base and everybody else where you think they would be. So, I didn't hear anybody around the ballpark today fretting over Dubon going back to Houston today.
All right, Sean, we appreciate you, and we will talk to you down the line tomorrow and Friday. That's going to be a big conversation to see what you're able to see as Altuve makes his debut in left field. Have a good time, man. Yeah, have a drink for all of us.
Yeah, can't wait. Already doing that, brother. I appreciate you guys. Yeah, we'll talk later this week.
All right, that's Sean Pendergast, who is in West Palm Beach, joining us courtesy of Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. I couldn't believe Sean was drinking. You thought Sean already had a drink?
The guy is drunk.
I thought he'd already have a couple pops. I can tell you, man, he starts a little earlier than everybody else, man. He gets up about 4 a.m. to start his prep for his show. Hell, he's got to get started drinking.
My man said, I'm going to go hit a couple of walk. Can I give me a good walk in just so I can go ahead and do this?
Give me some steps in to justify the way I'm going to eat and drink this evening. I hear you, man.
There you go, man.
Get ahead of the game, baby. Get ahead. It's hard to play catch up with a hangover.
That's right. Sounds like you had some good fish or something. What you got coming up?
All right, there is another former Pro Bowl player. This is a guard has asked his team for permission to seek a trade. It's been granted. There's Houston Texans ties. Is this somebody that the Texans may pursue? I'll tell you who that is and what's going on. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.